All right, let's dive in today, and we're going to be talking about something that's been making a lot of noise in the healthcare world. Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're rolling out a new policy on anesthesia coverage, and it's got people talking. Specifically, they're looking at putting some pretty strict time limits on how long they'll actually cover anesthesia during procedures. And I'm sure some of you are out there thinking, okay, so what? How does this affect me? Well, we've got some really insightful articles here, one from NPR and another from NBC Connecticut, that shed light on just that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of folks are concerned, and for good reason. You know, this isn't just about numbers on the spreadsheet. This is impacting real people, people facing surgery, and of course, the medical professionals who care for them.
Absolutely. So let's break down what Anthem is actually proposing here. They're planning to use what are called CMS Physician Work Time Values. These are essentially values assigned by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and they're supposed to reflect the average time a physician spends on a specific procedure. Now, Anthem wants to use these values as a basis for setting time limits on, as we said, anesthesia coverage.
Right, and their stated goal. To prevent overbilling, of course, and, you know, keep healthcare costs in check. In fact, I've got a quote here from the NPR article. Anthem says this is to, quote, "safeguard against potential anesthesia provider overbilling and help ensure that claims are accurately coded and providers are reimbursed appropriately for the services they provide to members." Okay, so on the surface, it sounds, you know, reasonable enough, right? I mean, who doesn't want to avoid overbilling? But when you really start digging into the details, well, this policy is causing a lot of uncertainty and anxiety for both patients and doctors, especially in states like Connecticut, New York, and Missouri, where it's being rolled out first.
Yeah, and you can see why, right? If a surgery takes longer than Anthem's predetermined time limit, guess who might end up footing the bill for those extra costs?
The patient.
Exactly.
So let's paint a picture here. Let's say you're going in for a fairly standard procedure, expecting everything to be covered by your insurance. But then complications arise during the surgery, things take longer than expected, and suddenly, bam, you're hit with unexpected out-of-pocket costs for that additional anesthesia time.
And that's not even the whole picture. This policy has the potential to really compromise the quality of care. Imagine you're a surgeon in the middle of a complex procedure, and now you're under pressure to wrap things up quickly. Why? Because the anesthesia coverage is about to run out. I mean, that's a recipe for potentially dangerous shortcuts, puts doctors in really difficult ethical dilemmas.
It's a pretty unsettling thought when you really think about it. We're talking about people's lives and well-being here, not just bottom lines.
Couldn't agree more, and that's exactly why we're seeing such a strong pushback against this policy. The American Society of Anesthesiologists, the ASA, they've been very vocal. They're calling this a cynical money grab, and they're concerned that it's just oversimplifying the realities of anesthesia billing.
They're saying it's about much more than just time, right?
Absolutely. There are so many factors that go into determining the cost of anesthesia. Time is just one piece of the puzzle. You have to consider things like the complexity of the procedure, the patient's individual risk factors, the type of anesthesia used, and of course, any unexpected complications that might come up.
So walk us through this a little bit. If time isn't the only factor, how does anesthesia billing actually work? What are some of the things that can really drive up those costs?
All right, well, let's break it down a bit. First, you have to look at the patient's medical history, their overall health. A patient with pre-existing conditions might require more specialized care, closer monitoring during anesthesia, which naturally adds to the complexity and therefore the cost.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just about how long the patient is under, but the level of care and expertise they require during that time.
Precisely.
Oh, well.
Well, then you have the procedure itself. Obviously, a simple tooth extraction is going to require less anesthesia than, say, open heart surgery.
Right.
And even within the same type of procedure, you can have variations. A routine appendectomy might be straightforward, but if the appendix has ruptured, well, it becomes a much more complex and risky operation, requiring more time, more specialized anesthesia care.
So a lot more nuance to this than just looking at the clock.
Exactly. It's about matching the level of care and expertise to each patient's individual needs and the specific demands of each procedure. And that's what seems to be missing from Anthem's policy. It's trying to take a very complex process and force it into a one-size-fits-all approach.
And that's what has a lot of people worried, especially lawmakers, who are hearing from their constituents about this.
Absolutely. We're seeing some strong reactions from both sides of the aisle, actually.
Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, he called Anthem's policy appalling and even questioned their motives. He actually went on Twitter and asked, "And for what? Just to boost corporate profits."
It definitely raises questions about whether this is truly about preventing overbilling or if it's more about, well, padding the bottom line, potentially at the expense of patient care.
Yeah, it's a valid concern, especially when you consider the potential impact on patients facing more complex procedures, like the scenario described by Senator Jeff Gordon, also from Connecticut.
Right. He's actually a practicing oncologist, so he understands these concerns firsthand. He talked about a hypothetical case of a woman undergoing a hysterectomy. And, you know, that's a procedure where complications can and do arise.
Absolutely.
And if that happens, the surgery could very well take longer than expected. Now, under Anthem's policy, the surgeon and the anesthesiologist are suddenly in a tough spot. Do they stop the procedure just because the insurance time limit is up? Or do they continue, knowing that the patient might be left with a huge bill?
It's a tough situation to even imagine, having to make that choice. Completing a necessary medical procedure, but potentially burdening the patient with these unexpected costs. It's not a decision any doctor should have to face.
And it just highlights the potential for this policy to create these ethical conflicts and ultimately compromise patient care.
Well, that's a good place to pause for now. When we come back, we'll dig deeper into the pushback against Anthem's policy and see what happened in Connecticut that gave people a little bit of hope. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, a lot of the potential downsides of this policy. But are there any arguments in favor of it? You know, are there any potential benefits to standardizing anesthesia pay this way? I've seen some folks online saying that this could actually be good for patients in the long run, so I'm curious to hear your take.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are definitely some arguments to be made in favor of standardizing anesthesia pay. Some people argue that it could help prevent price gouging, you know, make healthcare costs a little more predictable for patients.
Yeah, no one likes the surprise medical bills.
Exactly. And some proponents of this policy even say it could lead to lower overall healthcare costs. The idea is that if insurance companies are paying less for anesthesia, well, those savings could trickle down to consumers, maybe in the form of lower premiums. We'll see.
So there's a potential upside there, if those savings actually materialize. But the big question for me is, how do we ensure that quality of care isn't sacrificed in the pursuit of lower costs?
That's the million-dollar question, right? It's a tough balancing act. We need to find ways to control healthcare costs, absolutely, but not at the expense of patient safety or, you know, the doctor's ability to provide the best possible care. And this is a debate that goes way beyond just anesthesia, honestly.
It feels like a microcosm of the larger healthcare debate in this country, right? Affordable care for everyone, but also making sure that the quality is there.
Exactly. It's a tough nut to crack.
It really is. And this whole situation with Anthem is just bringing a lot of those tensions to the surface. Speaking of Anthem, let's talk about what happened in Connecticut. They actually managed to get Anthem to reverse their decision there, which is pretty amazing.
It is. It really shows what can happen when people come together and make their voices heard.
So what exactly happened? How did they convince Anthem to back down?
Well, it was a few things. First of all, you had a lot of public outcry. People were worried, and rightfully so. They were concerned about this policy, the impact it could have on their health, their wallets, and they weren't shy about expressing those concerns.
I bet social media was buzzing about this.
It was, and that public pressure got the attention of lawmakers, who then stepped in and put the pressure on Anthem.
Yeah, I remember seeing that tweet from State Comptroller Sean Scanlon. He said, "After hearing from people across the state about this concerning policy, my office reached out to Anthem, and I'm pleased to share this policy will no longer be going into effect here in Connecticut."
Mm.
Seems like his office played a key role in this.
They did, and they weren't the only ones. You also had senators like Chris Murphy and Jeff Gordon who were very vocal in their opposition. They used their platforms to raise awareness and really push Anthem to reconsider.
So it was a real team effort, patients, lawmakers, healthcare providers all coming together.
And it worked.
It did, which is encouraging. But what about the other states where this policy is still in effect? New York, Missouri. Are there similar efforts happening there?
Oh, absolutely. Officials in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, Senator Mike Gianaris, they're all actively working to block it.
I saw that tweet from Senator Gianaris, pretty funny. He asked, "Does Anthem expect a patient to get up in the middle of a surgery and walk away?"
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be buying Anthem's justification for this.
Not at all. And it feels like there's this growing sense of frustration with insurance companies and how much power they have in dictating healthcare.
For sure. It raises the question, are they really looking out for patients or are profits the main priority?
It's a question we should all be asking. So where do we go from here? What are the takeaways from this whole situation with Anthem? What should our listeners be thinking about?
Well, I think the big takeaway here is that healthcare is just becoming more and more complex. It's confusing for patients. You know, it's hard to know who to trust, how to advocate for yourself. The system can feel very opaque, overwhelming.
Yeah, so many people just kind of accept whatever their doctor and insurance company tells them.
Right, but it's so important to be your own advocate, to really understand what your health insurance covers. Know what's covered, what's not. Don't be afraid to push back if something doesn't seem right.
I can imagine that can be pretty intimidating, especially when you're dealing with a big company like an insurance company.
It can be, but you have rights as a patient, and there are resources out there to help you. Organizations like the Patient Advocate Foundation, they can provide guidance and support if you're having issues with your insurance or medical bills.
That's good to know. It's empowering to know you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
What else can our listeners do to make their voices heard? Maybe influence healthcare policy?
Well, we saw in Connecticut that contacting your elected officials can really make a difference. Let them know what your concerns are, share your experiences, urge them to support policies that actually prioritize patient well-being.
Yeah, they're supposed to represent us. We need to hold them accountable.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of social media. Sharing your story, raising awareness, connecting with others facing similar challenges, it can all create a real force for change.
We've seen it time and again. Social media can really amplify these issues and get people to take action.
It's a valuable tool for advocacy, especially in a system that can feel dominated by corporate interests.
So it's not just about staying informed. It's about actually taking action, advocating for yourself and for a healthcare system that puts patients first. As we wrap up this part of our deep dives, I want to go back to how Anthem initially framed this policy. They presented it as a way to safeguard patients from overbilling. But as we've seen, the reality is a bit more complicated. Yeah, it feels like they were trying to spin it as, you know, protecting patients' wallets, but in reality, this could actually end up costing patients more. And then, like we said, there's the impact on quality of care, the ethical dilemmas it could create for doctors.
Right. And it really raises the question of, you know, what role should insurance companies play in healthcare? Are they really looking out for patients, or are they, you know, more focused on profits?
It's a question we all need to be asking, because at the end of the day, this is about people's lives. Healthcare shouldn't just be another industry where profits are the only thing that matters.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. There's definitely a feeling that something needs to change. We need to find that balance, you know, affordable care, but also high quality care, care that puts patients first.
And this whole thing with Anthem, it feels like a symptom of that larger problem.
It is. It's bringing those tensions to the surface.
Hopefully it'll lead to some more honest conversations about how we want healthcare to work.
I hope so.
The old ways aren't working. We need new solutions. Solutions that put patients first, make sure everyone can get the care they need without going broke.
Absolutely. And I think what happened in Connecticut gives us some hope. It shows that change is possible, even when you're going up against a big company like Anthem.
It's inspiring to see that people can come together, make their voices heard, and actually make a difference.
It's a reminder that we're not powerless. We have a voice, and we need to use it.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Anthem's policy, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. What does this whole situation tell us about the future of healthcare?
Well, I think it shows that people are becoming more aware of the power imbalances in healthcare, and there's a growing desire for change. Patients don't want to be passive anymore. They want to have a say in how the system works.
We're seeing that with the response to Anthem. People are engaged, they're informed, and they're ready to fight for a better system.
That's a powerful thing.
So if you're out there feeling overwhelmed, uncertain about the future of healthcare, remember what we talked about today. Stay informed, ask questions, and most importantly, speak up. Make your voice heard.
You have the power to shape the future of healthcare. Don't be afraid to use it.
That's a great point to end on. We've covered a lot of ground today, but this is really just the start of the conversation. Keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing for a better healthcare system for everyone.